right, awesome. Well, welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. This is episode 18A, special test episode with Dr. Mika Tsongas Bassett. Now it's just Mika Bassett. So Mika, it's good to have you on the show. Let's start with
a good report.
Are you drinking anything right now? Do you have any cup, mug? Okay, water, that works too. Okay, so do you have a good report? Anything that's like, yay, good that you want to share?
I passed my NPLEX pharmacology exam because we're getting licensure for naturopathic physicians in July. I just found that out officially day before yesterday. So that is a good report.
Wow. That is a great report. Awesome. That is so cool. I'm wondering about another good report that I think I've got is that with the social distancing, there's more opportunities to work around the house and to get things around the house. So, you know, hey, if anybody is unaware watching this, Mika is my wife. We are married and we enjoy a fun and exciting life together. And in all of that, we've got some good reports. So with that, let's say cheers to the good report.
Cheers.
Just put it up to just go ting. Oh, you drank early. You got a ting.
Sorry, I'm all wrong.
Ting, good report. So fun. What a great, good report. So, Dr. Mika, you mentioned that you got past your MPLEX. What is that specifically?
That's the governing body that gives exams to licensed naturopathic physicians. Mm-hmm. And Idaho has thus far been an unlicensed state. So naturopathic physicians were not eligible for licensing because there's no licensing law in Idaho. And so we just passed licensing law this last summer, and it's going to be going into effect this July. And Idaho is one of two states that I believe it's two that are requiring an elective pharmacology exam. So we have board exams when we pass. When you go to an accredited naturopathic school, you have to pass board exams along with meeting all the requirements for graduation, of course. And so we have to pass those exams when we graduate. And but Idaho is requiring a special exam that's kind of a more comprehensive pharmacology, just pharmacology only exam. So I just spent we were given 6 weeks to study like 300 drugs that I haven't studied since 2007. And so it was an act of God that I passed. Yeah. He really added the super to the natural on that one.
So why is licensure in Idaho different from maybe other states? And why is this process important?
Well, licensure is different from other states. For example, all the surrounding states around Idaho are licensed states. So naturopathic physicians, have to be licensed. Licensing, of course, implies standards. And so licensing is really important because, if you're licensed, you can practice the full scope of your practice. So we're trained as primary care physicians. And thus far, I haven't been able to practice to the scope that I was trained. And in other states, you know, these surrounding states like Oregon and Washington, Montana, California, they're all licensing naturopathic physicians. And so they can act as primary care physicians.
Okay.
And
so
that's
so
how
in
we're
Idaho,
trained.
So in Idaho up to now, naturopaths have not been able to.
There's been no standard for what you have to be if you're going to say you're a naturopathic doctor.
Okay.
You can have any training and call yourself a naturopathic doctor. Now
okay, so what's
be
the new name?
Standards for that training.
Because it's going to be a different name, right?
Yeah. And it's a little confusing because some states are different. It's, you know, state by state licensure.
Okay.
And in this state, we're going to be called naturopathic medical doctors or NMDs. Mm-hmm. In, you know, some of those other surrounding states, the terminology is ND or naturopathic doctor. But in Idaho, the people who have not had Department of Education, certified education, they have really fought to keep rights to remain practicing as naturopathic doctors.
Of course, right? That's their livelihood.
For a lot of years.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. So they really wanted to protect that right to continue practicing under that name. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, congratulations. Yeah. So now it's going to be NMD in Idaho. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So with that, you're going to be able to do primary care work. So what does that look like for you in your practice getting this new license in Idaho?
Well, it'll just allow me to, you know, for instance, we can write prescriptions now. I can draw blood. I can do sensitive exams. If I wanted to do female health, I could do those exams. You know, as it stands, I'm also an acupuncturist, so I pretty much practice under that license. And, you know, the naturopathic medicine that I practice is using any of the kind of natural elements. We can prescribe herbs, we can, you know, use natural therapies, but we can't use, you know, of course, prescriptions or order certain lab tests or refer for imaging or those kinds of things. So that'll be really nice to be able to, you know, act in some of those ways to be able to help patients. Right now, as it stands, I partner with nurse practitioners and MDs and, you know, have to send people over for lab tests and they have to pay for another visit. And so it'll be really nice to be able to help people kind of more comprehensively.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah. So, we're in the midst of a bit of a crisis across the nation right now with the coronavirus and social distancing. There's a lot of, it seems like a lot of fear surrounding the unknown, right? There's a lot of unknowns happening. It seems like there's some things that each of us could be doing individually in the midst of the coronavirus and social distancing, everything that we're doing to slow this thing down.
Yes.
There's some things that we can be doing. Kind of give us your take on, you know, some of your best practices, maybe as far as just general health and ways to kind of navigate through this very unique situation together a little more. Give us some tips, I guess would be the best way to say it.
Yeah. You know, I think the naturopaths kind of do this type of lifestyle medicine all the time. These are kind of things that I would recommend for patients in any season, but in this season, particularly important. First is sleep. You know, that's such a big one and such a challenge for many of us during times when we're under high stress. So really doing what's called sleep hygiene, where you're taking care before your bedtime, you're keeping the same bedtime each night. That's a really, you know, a challenging one, but so helpful for your system. It knows when to shut down and it knows when to wake up. So your kind of hormonal rhythms get geared around that. But sleep is helpful for stress management and for immunity. So getting good sleep is super important. You know, some of the things that the sleep hygiene would include would be like shutting down media and, you know, not having a stressful conversation right before bed, not scrolling Facebook right before you're going to try to go to sleep. My husband caught me doing that the other night. That is not smart. It's a bad technique for sleep. So, you know, avoiding stressful topics during that time, really starting to wind down, you know, avoiding screens for a half hour to an hour before you try to go to bed.
Okay. So for about a half hour to an hour before we go to bed to really like bring it down.
Even turn the lights lower.
Okay.
Do you know? Yeah.
That's one of the
things
that sends
the signals to your body that it's time to go to
sleep. Done that. We've done that at our house. You know, I know that when it's time for bed, suddenly I'll be like in the middle of, I'll be in the laundry room and I'll come out, all the lights are off in the whole house. I'm like, wait, what's happening? like, oh, it's time for bed. Everything is getting shut down.
Yeah. And then doing relaxing things, do you know, things that you find relaxing, reading a book, but not a murder mystery, you know?
So what about like TV shows? Because like, I think a lot of people sit and they relax with the TV on.
I think if you want to go to bed soon, avoiding that up to the time when you're going to bed, or, you know, if you're watching a TV show, avoiding a really stimulating one. And during these times, maybe you're not going to tolerate the same kinds of shows that you would normally tolerate. Maybe you like a, you know, high intensity, on the edge of your seat kind of show. You might not want to go for that kind during this time because it induces stress.
Well, and I think there's a lot of stress in this season.
Yes.
There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of unknowns. So what are some ways that, considering obviously focusing on, one of the habits that I hear is a really good healthy habit to get into is to stick to a sleep time. Like if you just say, I'm going to be in bed by 10 and at 9 o'clock, I'm shutting down all my things. I'm horrible at that, you know, but I'm working on it. So I think like,
and we can keep each other accountable, you know, tell your housemate or tell your friend to text you at a certain time and say, are you getting, you know, dialed down, or tell your spouse or
just, that's,
you
know,
ask for that accountability, and you can then keep each other accountable to doing that. And, you know, I think most people don't realize, I see a lot of patients who are getting very little sleep, and they don't realize that they do actually require more sleep than that. You know, they're using caffeine and other stimulants to keep going during the day. So, you know, avoiding caffeine after three, and maybe even drinking less caffeine during this time, because it's also going to rev you up a little bit.
Well, and I think that's really important to grab too, because there are certain things that'll get us more wired for sound, you know, and like you're talking about the movies, even like, I was joking around, with Spencer a while back, because he's like trying to get
Spencer's
ready for bed.
Our son.
Spencer's our son. He's, he's in Reading, and he had his headphones on, and he's like, I'm like, that's the kind of music you listen to before you go into a basketball game. Like, you get hyped, you know, like it was hype music. Like, it's, I'm like, you're trying to get ready for bed, bro. Like, calm down, you know? It's one of those intensity things. So,
And so let me go back to the number of hours a person might want to sleep. You know, for women, generally that's 9 hours a night. And for men, generally, that's 8 hours a night.
Okay.
And that's particularly important if you're not feeling well, or if you're highly stressed, or if you're wanting to recover from an illness, you know, having plenty of sleep and maybe more than your what you think you can get away with.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. And you know, right now, I think a lot of people might be in a little bit of a funk, because we're not working at the speed we used to work at.
Right.
Everything, a lot
many
of things.
People.
And now, many people. I think obviously there's the essential services that are still running full steam, and even some of them are working
over capacity.
They don't have the normal support structures that maybe they had in the past. So when we look at this overall concept of people being stressed and going hard, and there's all these different things that are going on, what do you recommend, like middle of the day stuff, to bring it down, to allow that stress to kind of come down a little bit?
Right. I think one of the things that's common is to take note. Have I taken a break? Am I trying to overwork, overproduce? Am I baking all day, or am I trying to be super productive with the kids, or am I, you know, really going? I've forgotten to eat when normally I don't forget to eat.
Right.
You know, those kind of cues of like, oh, wow, maybe it's time to sit down and just take some deep breaths.
Right.
And have a little pause.
You posted on Facebook a little breathing exercise.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's called square breathing. And basically you just use a count of four, and you inhale to a count of four, then you hold for a count of four, and you exhale for a count of four, and hold for a count of four. And and I had one friend who said, I almost passed out when I tried that. and so if that's hard initially, you can start with a lower count, you know, try two or hold for fewer numbers. But basically just by focusing on your breath, focusing on the here and now is a really great way to get out of that forward, like, fear and anxiety, It brings you back into your body, and it also helps tell your brain that you're safe.
Oh,
because it's
right.
When yeah. we're restful, we have this kind of easy breathing where we have some pauses in between, and that's sending the signal to your brain that you're okay. So it's mm-hmm. helping to move your mm-hmm. nervous system more into the parasympathetic rest, digest kind of setting versus the fight or flight kind of setting. So okay. breathing exercises can be super helpful. Even if you just put your hands on your belly and let your belly get soft and then take deep breaths all the way into your belly and feel your hands move up and down as you're taking those deep belly breaths. That's
wow.
another kind of simple way to just check in with your body, see how you're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Reset well, and, a little.
You know, I think that that's a good thought for the season, this concept of resetting.
Yeah.
I know that for me, I'm used to running at a very fast pace.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I were told over the summer that, hey, I think that this next season's we're going to have a different pace.
Yeah.
And we took that in a lot of different ways. But I think that everyone is going to be acclimating to a new pace.
Yes. Yeah.
No, it's good. Go for it.
Mm-hmm. I think that, in that new pace, it's important to still maintain some semblance of a schedule or a routine. I know that many of us get comfort from our schedule. Kids really get comfort from a schedule. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. you have to be rigid, but maybe mm-hmm. get up and get dressed and, get dressed as if you were going to leave the house.
Right.
And certainly we all warrant a few days in our PJs all day, you know, right. but past that, maybe just starting to kind of re-enter a little routine where you get up, you get dressed, you shower, you know, you do the things you would normally do as if you were going to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a regular schedule and you can vary it. That's really helpful.
Right.
But also be willing to flow with it, but just mm-hmm. having an idea of, okay, this is what we're going to set out to do this morning. And you include, and then I'm going to sit on the couch and rest for a minute and just
right.
like do something enjoyable. You like knitting or, you know, one of the things that can be, I mean, I'm not a knitter, but I know a lot of people do that. It's a really relaxing activity.
Methodical.
Things that require both of your hands actually is very relaxing to the body and brain. So knitting is a really great one. Repetitive movements that are using both sides of your body, jumping, jump rope, those kinds of things.
What if I am one of those people who feels like I'm way too relaxed right now?
Yeah.
And I feel like my life's kind of going a little bit disheveled because I don't have a schedule. I don't have my normal routines.
Yeah.
What do you recommend?
Well, dreaming a little bit. You know, this is that wonderful time to go, wow, okay, this is something that I've really wanted to do. I think, you know, the other thing to kind of jumpstart is go out and get some fresh air. Make yourself get dressed and go outside, even if it's 10 minutes, or go, you know, walk around the house or the apartment building or wherever you are. You know, just get some fresh air. That's invigorating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's earlier in the morning, it's chilly, that'll get you moving.
Yeah, that's great.
But then, you know, it's such a wonderful time. I just keep saying to patients, this is such a great time to refocus, to pause and assess, okay, what do I need? What are my weaknesses? What are my strengths? How can I improve my wellness, improve my overall health? You know, I keep seeing a lot of these, this will kind of get me back to one of the other tips, I think, for staying healthy.
Sure.
Is I keep seeing all these kind of joke posts about, oh, this is how fat and blimpy we're going to be after the quarantine.
Some of them are hilarious.
All they're funny. And I think I'm kind of saying the opposite. You know, I'm picturing the opposite. It's like, gosh, think of how healthy we could all be if we choose to take this time to really focus on improving our wellness.
Right.
You know,
right.
whether that's...
Yeah.
accomplishing a goal that you haven't had time to address, or haven't had time to take time to care for yourself well by eating well or by moving your body or by journaling or writing that thing that you've always wanted to write or doing that project that you've been inspired to do, but haven't right. had the capacity or time.
Well, and I think there's this concept of what do you do when you have free time? And,
yeah.
and I know that for many people, it was like what I've been seeing is it's a little staycation-ish
right.
For
yeah.
some people who maybe aren't feeling financial stress around this that are able to like, oh, I'm going to take a break and,
yes.
you know, have a glass of wine by noon type of thing.
Yeah.
And then we also have some people who aren't seeing this necessarily as a staycation, but more as like, this is an opportunity for me to do the things that I don't normally get time to do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I hear you saying. Maybe it might be a better focus of energy.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, if you're feeling like having a glass of wine at noon, taking a step back, giving yourself, you know, not being hard on yourself about that,
right.
but,
yeah.
but just going, wow, I am feeling really stressed. What can I do that's actually really beneficial for me that would really help me? Like,
and if it's noon, let's go to sleep.
And if that's
right?
like
it's nap time,
put the kids in front of a video and take, you know, 20 minutes to breathe. That's okay. Do you know,
yeah,
I don't think
yeah.
that it has to be some grandiose thing. But I think that just taking those positive steps, looking at where we're at,
uh-huh.
recognizing something we can do
yeah.
to kind of, empower ourselves.
That's cool. Well, I wanted to take a moment and acknowledge the people who are watching us live on our
cool.
first Bonner Breakdown live stream here. We kind of started this as a test, but the conversation has been so good that this is an actual episode
hey.
Of the Bonner Breakdown. We went from test mode into, and actually you can see it typed on the screen. It says at the top, it says episode 18 test, you know, and then it's like, okay, I just deleted the test. Live. But if you have any questions for Dr. Mika, or you have any thoughts or questions, concerns, comments, anything like that that you want us to discuss live, feel free to put it into the comment section. Using my page casting for the Facebook, I don't get to see who's logged in like I would normally do on my phone. So this is a little bit different than on the phones, because on the phone, I would be able to do multiple people just on Facebook Live, and I could see everybody who's on. So I'm not able to acknowledge the people who are watching, but you can type in your comments or your questions, and feel free to interact with us as much as you want. If you have questions, or if we say something that you think is silly, let us know. We'll try and explain it better if it didn't make sense. So sometimes husbands and wives have their own communication patterns. And hopefully we don't get stuck too much in that. But, you know, feel free to comment and let us know what you think about the broadcast as well. So Dr. Mika, I wanted to talk to you about a couple other things. One of them is, what if I'm concerned about my personal health right now, and I feel like I'm kind of getting sick, and there's so much concern around, I think even with allergies and with different things, mm-hmm. and we're not sure what's happening, what's going on. What do you recommend?
Well, I think if you have symptoms and they're unusual, it's good to kind of treat as if, you know, mm-hmm. do all the precautions and cleaning around home to try and prevent others in your home from getting sick. And, you know, doing the things that you can to get extra rest, mm-hmm. manage stress,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, reach out. If you have mm-hmm. a practitioner and you're concerned about symptoms, reach out. Don't isolate and wonder and go into fear. You know, send a message, call on the phone. I think that physicians are really trying to be accessible, doing everything they can, particularly,
agreed.
You know, over the phone. A lot of, you know, we've transitioned to doing more telemedicine, and, you know, at my office, I'm available by Facebook Messenger. And so, you know, there's a lot of ways, I think, to connect and just ask the simple questions.
That's
you know,
great.
Of course, in my practice, I prescribe herbs a lot. So a lot of my patients, we kind of know what their susceptibilities are. So we have a plan for each person for how to build their immunity and stay healthy, and then what to do if they get sick. So they kind of have their plan. We know, oh gosh, when you get a respiratory illness, it tends to go here. And so we make a plan for that. And a lot of times we're doing herbs. We do hydrotherapy. That's the use of hot and cold towels, or hot and cold, even soaked socks. There's a really fabulous treatment.
Hey, we've been doing this fighting for infection.
It's called the warming sock treatment, and it's kind of a little misnomer because you actually put cold socks on if you have a fever, cold cotton socks, and then you pull dry wool socks over the top of that and go to bed, and it really pulls congestion out of your upper respiratory passages. It raises the white blood cell count to help fight infection. So there's really, fabulous natural therapies that you can do right at home. Oftentimes I'm having people do, get some kitchen herbs and do steam inhalation with some kitchen herbs, because it goes right to the nose, the sinuses, the lungs, and, is antimicrobial. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of really fabulous natural therapies that, you can employ, and usually very inexpensive, and things you can, do at home with what you already have.
Do you think that there's some specific things in this season, considering the coronavirus, and any specific actions or activities that are going to be helpful for people to maintain good health in the season?
Yeah, I think back to diet. I think that's so huge.
Okay.
Really avoiding foods that are heavy and hard to digest, especially if you get sick. You really kind of want to unburden your digestive system, because it is such a huge draw on the energy of the body. The less your body is focusing on trying to spend a lot of energy digesting, the more it can focus on fighting the infection. So that's really helpful, to kind of have a very simple diet and eating whole foods. So whole grains, vegetables, small amounts of meat if you're eating meat, whole grains. So yeah, just some of those really kind of simple back to the basics.
Yeah. That's
and the
good.
Vegetable aisles are all full, and trying out some different foods that you're not used to, trying new recipes. It's a great time for just kind of expanding what you're used to. But yeah, diet, I think, is super important. Avoiding a lot of alcohol, because it's not great for your immune system. It stresses the liver. The liver, according to Chinese medicine, is the organ that handles stress and strong emotions. So you really don't want to overburden that organ, that system. And yeah, the avoiding sugar is another big one. And, that doesn't mean none, but it if you're sick. In our household, we don't eat sugar if we're sick.
Nope.
Because it really can tend to shut down your immune system. And I won't say shut down, but it can inhibit your immune function. So avoiding a lot of sugar is a really great idea in this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's really good. That's really good. I think that a lot of people tend to struggle with general health. One of the things... that I would say, if you're just joining us or you're with us, I just got a note from a friend. If you're joining us, I want to introduce you to Dr. Mika Bassett, who's with us. Mika is my amazing wife, and we are here chatting about health, and she is a naturopathic physician and acupuncturist here in Sandpoint at Green Mountain Medicine. Where's your practice located at?
It's just right downtown in the business and at Sandpoint Business and Events Center, the place where the college is.
So now while we are on this social distancing path here, I'm wondering, what are you doing now with your patients? How are you connecting with your patients?
We are using telemedicine. I'm doing phone calls and Zoom calls and, instant messaging. For those little questions, but and of course, phone messages, and so we're just kind of, I've, for a couple weeks, I just moved my practice home and getting all set up on telemedicine and really enjoying it. Actually, it's been really fun to connect with people virtually and get to see their homes in the background and, you know, the activities of life. And really fun.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
So any last like recommendations, things that you would say, as it pertains to physical health, staying healthy in this kind of downtime, for some super busy time, dealing with stress, all this stuff, you know, any other things that you'd put out there for us?
I think exercise is super helpful. Getting outside in the fresh air, moving your body. Mm-hmm. I think one of the most relaxing things is watching nature. It's like nature hasn't changed. It's doing the same thing. The birds are still eating, you know, the trees are still growing and the all the new life is happening with flowers coming up through the ground. I mean, it's just a wonderful way to ground back and check back into everything's going to be okay. This is really hard and we're going to get through this. And some things are still the same.
Right.
Some things are just still
absolutely steady. Yeah. And it's good to be reminded that some things are just going to continue on, you know, and,
One other little tip that I wanted to mention, it's kind of a funny one, but nasal rinsing. A lot of people are aware that, you know, when you get an infection, it first is entering through your respiratory, your nose and your throat. And so it's going to start to colonize there first and replicate there first. And so if you're doing regular nasal rinsing, it's just a great way to rinse those pathogens out of your nose and throat. So using, a lot of people use a neti pot. That's really popular.
Oh yeah.
I really like NasoPure. They have a great little squirt bottle that you can use, and they come with a saline solution. It has baking soda and pharmaceutical grade salt, and you mix it with distilled water that you've heated up. And because you don't want to use tap water, because sometimes there can be, you know, little pathogens in the water. So you use distilled water and this saline mix, and it's a really great. X-Clear is another one that they sell locally at Winter Ridge. I've seen that there. I'm not sure, you know, what their stock is like, but they have that product. I can order that through my office and that other NasoPure brand. Those are really great ways to just keep those pathogens moving on out, prevent them from taking hold. You can gargle with saline and then rinse your nose out. And there's, you know, really specific instructions on how to do that properly. But those are kind of the basics. You can make your own saline solution at home with salt and baking soda. And so that's a great preventative strategy if you're just trying to avoid getting sick, or if someone in your home is sick, you know, it's a great, great strategy. Or if you get sick.
You know, one of the things that I think has been interesting is how we're connecting as people nowadays. Obviously, thank God for great technology and for fast internet in some places.
We're fortunate to have
We're super blessed to have all these opportunities at our fingertips. How can we maximize our connectedness while we are distant?
Right.
Any thoughts on that?
I think this format is awesome. Do you know, seeing people's faces, having a phone call, texting your friends, saying, hi, what are you doing today? Yeah. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Do you know, just talking to people, have a phone conversation, call family members you haven't talked to in a while, just kind of reconnect with some of those basic things. Write a letter, you know, our daughter's going to write a letter today to a friend. And even kids can, you know, Zoom call. They miss their friends too. And
that's so right. Well, and we did a little group Zoom chat for a bunch of kids.
Yeah. One of our friends last night had a trivia night for kids. And so we had, I think there were probably 12 kids on there, and she had trivia questions and they all got to see each other and chime in, and it was really fun.
And it was kind of interesting because you could see the kids that were super extroverted were like, all hamming it up for the camera.
Yeah.
And then the introverts were like,
quiet. Yes.
Like, yeah. I'm not sure what's happening out there. Uh-huh. But no, that was super fun.
But it's
fun.
Good. Everybody got to participate, you know, how they are.
That's great. That's great. Well, Dr. Mika, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to wrap up our session today. Is there any other thoughts or anything that you want to share?
You know, I think just acknowledging where you're at. If you're anxious, acknowledge you're anxious. If you're feeling sad or angry or any of those emotions, those are super normal.
We cannot wrap this thing up. I did not make a note about the last thing that you told me.
Okay.
And so, but finish your thought. I'm just saying we're not done talking because you just sparked that whole other level of conversation.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I just think, you know, acknowledging where you're at, being willing to admit it. We're all stressed, whether somebody looks like it or acts like it or not. Yeah. They might be really good at holding it together. Mm-hmm. Different people have different ways of handling a really, you know, a big thing like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody, I think the other thing is give yourself and the people around you extra grace, because probably nobody's at their best right now.
Come on.
You know? So if they didn't say it right or do it right,
that's really good.
You know, if they're doing something that's sideways, or your kid is having a, you know, a meltdown, or they're not, you know, doing what you asked or whatever, they're expressing stress.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's your cue. Oh, they're stressed. I'm not going to hold that against them, or I'm just going to be loving and give grace. So I think that's huge in this season, both to yourself and to the people around you.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. So you posted an article on Facebook that really spoke to you. It's from the Harvard Business Review. Mm-hmm. You know, I've read a bunch of their stuff and followed them for years. Some of their leadership development articles and studies that they put out are phenomenal. And so I've always enjoyed reading their stuff. You found this article, and it was really about kind of what the thing people are experiencing that they're not sure how quite to define. They haven't been able to define it yet, but there's a lot of people experiencing anxiety, but they're also experiencing a lot of different emotions that this article tied it all into this concept of grieving and grief. And so I was wondering if you could share a little bit about that, because you and I, you mentioned that, hey, I kind of want to talk about that. So
I
want to make sure you have a chance.
I thought it was such a great article. I posted it on the Green Mountain Medicine Facebook page yesterday. And it's just talking about how many of us are experiencing grief of one kind or another. And the author talked about the two different kinds of grief. There's the grief that's related to loss. And, you know, there's so much that's being lost, whether it's routine or whether it's, you know, health or, there's just a lot of loss. And just looking around the world, there's loss and deaths. And it's kind of an overwhelming amount of loss. So there's grief related to that. And then there's also anticipatory loss, like what you're guessing you're going to lose in the future, or I'm sorry, anticipatory grief, you know, sadness and grief and all those different emotions that come with grief around what you anticipate, like, wow, this is going to be really bad. That's a lot of people are experiencing this anticipatory grief of like, oh man, all the things that we guess might happen in the future, or we're being told might happen in the future. And then I love that the article goes over, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is a woman who has written on grief and has kind of described five different stages of grief. And she's someone that I learned back in undergrad with, you know, I have a psychology degree. So Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is a very well-known, woman that I'm not even sure whether she's a psychologist or what, but she's defined these five stages of grief. And so I just loved that it talked about those stages, because it really describes, I think, what so many of us are going through.
Right.
And I think it really helps to understand, I'm going through something that's really normal and very natural, and that there's a process to it. And it might look different today and might look different tomorrow. And then, you know, a couple months down the road, it might look different. So I just kind of reminded myself of the stages, because it's been a long time. But, you know, the first stage is denial. Mm-hmm. And that's it's not going to affect me. It's not going to affect my family. It's not going to really affect our community. We're pretty safe from this, or it's not going to be so bad in the United States, or, you know, that's kind of the denial stage. And then anger, I've certainly seen anger come out. You
it's
know,
been
people
hot.
Are upset that mm-hmm. they're being told to stay home and that they can't do this, that, or the other thing. They're angry that they're in this situation.
And on the other side, people who want to stay home and other people who maybe aren't as worried about it are angry at anybody who doesn't stay
right.
home.
Yes.
I mean, like angry, not
right.
like the emotions are heightened.
Yes. And that's a stage of grief. Do you know that? I think that's, so when you see somebody out there who's angry, you can understand and have compassion.
Yeah.
Do you know? Mm-hmm. The next stage is bargaining. Well, if I stay home, then I'm going to be okay. If I, you know, wash my hands this many times a day, or if I, you know, take this supplement or that supplement, that I'm going to be okay. That's bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next stage is sadness. And you know, we can all understand sadness, and that we, might be grieving all the loss, like, wow, I've lost so much, or I'm sad that I can't see my friends, or I miss my family member, or I really love my job, or, you know, the things that I'm sad about in this loss. And then acceptance is the final stage. And another person has added a sixth stage that they discuss in the article, which I really liked. But the fifth stage that she defines is acceptance. And that's, just finally getting to the phase where we say, okay, this is real and I can do this. That stage
right.
is kind of defined by it. That's the stage where you finally get to some empowerment. You finally get to a little bit of control
right.
where you realize, okay, this is happening and I can do this. For me, it's like, okay, this is happening. I can switch my practice over to telemedicine. Do you know, I got a sore throat and I was like, I'm not going to see patients with a sore throat in this season.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, 2 weeks of self-isolation. And I like to say, you know, not isolation, but self kind of quarantining. We're not isolating. Mm-hmm. I'm not isolating.
Right.
I'm staying connected.
Nope. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, there's our train. That's our confirmation train. yeah.
And that works in arguments. It works like who's winning the argument. It's really when the train finally blows
yeah,
the horn. That's
right.
when you know who's really.
Yes. Oh, they're right. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I like, you know, that stage. And I think that's where kind of we want to set our sights, is that, okay, I've accepted that this is happening. And it takes everybody different amounts of time to get there. Do you know, some of us are going to take longer than others to get to that place where we might actually feel empowered and able to do something, to take a positive step, to kind of move through it. And I loved also in this same article, they talked about not necessarily ignoring some of the negative thoughts we have. Those are natural and normal.
Right.
And we can't just like shake those off or drink those away, or we can acknowledge those mm-hmm. thoughts or those fears mm-hmm. or those mm-hmm. anxieties
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, if there's a mental picture that goes along with that, like, oh man, I'm imagining what if, you know, these people I love become ill and pass or, do you know, and you have these fearful images or anxious images or sad images, then the important thing is to balance it with the alternative. And I think that's actually a really good practice before you go to sleep, or if you find yourself becoming
that's really good.
Angry or anxious or sad, is to take whatever thought you're having and balance it with the positive, like the, oh my gosh, what if everyone becomes sick, or so many people become sick, and what if people are dying, and what if everything's out of control? And what if the hospitals, and what if, and we can go,
pivot it.
What if that doesn't happen? What if we are so good at doing these prevention practices that we have these incredible numbers of not getting sick and incredible numbers of not dying, and our hospital, like, they're hanging out just doing their regular everyday job and they're not over capacity? What if the community comes together and provides supplies? What if, you know, you can really do the what if in the positive? And so I think it's super important to go, okay, I had that negative, that's possible, but really I could also fill my mind with the positive possibilities as well. I just think that's
so good.
Really wonderful. So, you know, before you go to sleep, think on those.
Tell yourself a different report, right?
Yes. Yep.
And that's why we do the good report every show, you know, because there are good things going on and we have to be able to share what those good things are. And we got to be able to do that. So pivoting in our mind, instead of what if everything's going bad, we can begin to say, well, what if everything goes really well?
Yes.
What if our economy springs back in 2 months and we're cranking at full steam because we nipped this thing in the bud? And, and then, you know, all the naysayers, that's fine to say, but that doesn't, not likely, not this, but what are you going to put your mind on?
What if I was so healthy on the other side of this? What if I really took charge
I
worked into those places where I've needed to, where I've been weak, or where I've not taken action? What if I really, like, moved into those spaces and I come out of this on the other side and I'm stronger and better and more empowered and more into my calling? And I just think we could all really use spending more time in those what ifs.
No, that's excellent. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Dr. Meek, I wanted to touch base on that. And as always, I love seeing your face.
Me too.
All right, good.
Okay.
So with that, everybody, we should say thank you so much for joining us. If you want to reach Dr. Meek, you can reach her at greenmtmed.com, greenmountainmed.com. You can get information there. You can follow her on Facebook. Just plug in greenmountainmedicine.com or Green Mountain Medicine in your Facebook search bar, and her beautiful face will pop up. I'm not usually this friendly with guests, but I feel like I can do that today. All right. Any other best ways to reach you, Meeka?
I think those are great. Our office number is 208-255-1951, and we're checking voice messages every day. And
Awesome. Well, we are excited to try and really get to this next level with the Bonner Breakdown. So we appreciate you helping us with this test broadcast.
That we're all moving into new territory.
Hey, it turned into a 50-minute conversation.
All right.
I said 10 minutes. All I want is 10 minutes, honey.
I know. My introvert was like, what? You want me to what?
But see, now you're well prepared for every new show that you get invited on. So, all right. With that, we are going to close this out. I'm testing all the gear and equipment. So hopefully this closing bumper, video bumper plays. Thank you, Denise, for posting in there. I was going to go back into the information on the show and put in all the links to Facebook page and all that kind of stuff. This will be up on YouTube. This will be on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple iTunes podcasts, anywhere that you get podcasts, anywhere that you want to hear this, it is alive and available to you. And again, thank you to our sponsors, Ting and Bonner Community Housing Agency, for sponsoring the show. And Meeka, thanks for joining us today.
We will be back
later today with Mayor Shelby Rongstad at 3 o'clock. So in about an hour and a half. So with that, we just say thank you and we are out. Let's just say goodbye. All right. Bye. Thank you for watching this episode of the Bonner Breakdown. Special thanks to Ting and BCHA for sponsoring this show. For more shows or to be a guest, please visit BonnerBreakdown.com. bonnerbreakdown.com. Have a great day.